you know this? Is Sam going to be here, do you know?
I think so.
Yeah, Eric's not here.
Okay.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Portland City Council. Before we begin the official proceedings, I would like to introduce a couple of people I've been meeting with for the last hour and just have them say a few words to our council and to the citizens. They're from the Warm Springs Confederated Tribes, and it includes the chair of the tribe, Chair Supa, as well as Louis Pitt, the government relations. Could you folks come forward, please? Had the honor to visit with these folks when I was out in Warm Springs a few months ago. And so they're paying a reciprocal visit, and we discussed a number of really important issues, and just appreciate the fact that you're here.
Do we have to raise our hand?
Anyway, if you folks would introduce yourselves and then just ask if you could say a few words to us about things that are important for both of us.
Okay, I'm Louis Pitt, Jr. I'm Director of Government Affairs and Planning for the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs. I've worked with Commissioner Leonard down at Salem, and Commissioner Saltzman and I took one of those intense University of Oregon Pacific Corps class together, and I think, Mayor, I've known you for years. We're a tribe that has rights that before the dream of the state of Oregon ever happened is that there's some people before that point, and we're a group of people that had authorities over 10 million acres, known partly as Eastern Oregon, the north-central part of Eastern Oregon from the Columbia River down below Bend, down the Cascades to Strawberry Mountains and a place called Willow Creek by Arlington. And we gave those 10 million acres to the United States in return for our way of life. And part of that way of life includes our usual and accustomed rights that we have down here via what's called a treaty. And so that's what we've been working with over the years. The former mayor, Vera Katz, worked with us to come across with a wonderful plan to protect cultural resources and sacred resources in a place called Columbia South Shores, Goal 5, one of the few places in the state of Oregon that land use planning integrated with statewide planning to come up with protection of our sacred resources connected to our way of life. And that place is up by the airport. So the key thing about that, as I said to the mayor earlier, was the recognition of our off-reservation rights. So we're still here, and it looks as though you folks aren't going anywhere. So we
wishful thinking.
So there's I think in our discussion, the chair can talk more about that. Is that with knowing those hard facts about where we're all going, is we need to work together intergovernmentally, and we've worked with the governors of Oregon, with the state legislature, and you know, the city of Portland, and my job as intergovernmental person is to try to get us not only to have the feel-good and good relations, but let's get some things done. And as governments, with timelines beyond our lifetimes, is that we need to use the institutions of government to governments to be able to carry on, I think, the way of life that integrates with the land as it was meant to be, in our opinion. Not to preach to folks, but I think we're all learning the hard way how to work with the land, and we need to learn from, I think, our mistakes and then move on from here, which I think is what I just appreciate greatly. I think Portland's mature stepping up to the plate to work with the Portland Harbor situation, and the big pipe thing is that I know every time it really rains down here, I just hold my breath, and you got to hold your breath. It's kind of bad water going into the Willamette, which also flows into the Columbia where our fish come up. So thank you for the time. And again, we're not interlopers here. Is for us is that we've been coming down here as a people for thousands of years. And so we continue. I think the chair will tell the rest of the story here. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Louie.
Nakpatway, Vanishas Hush, Taich. Good afternoon. My Indian name is Hus. My borrowed name is Ron Seppa. I'm the chairman for the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs. And I thank the mayor and the commission for giving me a little bit of time. It's well worth my time to expend it on the development of good, solid government-to-government relationships. Because we can always poke each other in the eye and call each other bad names, but that's not going to accomplish anything. So this stand right here reminds me of when I'm testifying over in Washington, D.C. They got a green light, yellow and red, and I was asking my lobbyist, significance, and he said, well, it's kind of like a signal light. When it turns to yellow, go like hell so you can beat the red light.
You want to tell who your lobbyist is?
But anyways, I thank you guys for your time, and I guess the only concern I might have is consistency, continuity, transition, whether that happens at Warm Springs and there's a change in the governing body and we have new leadership down there, that I would hope that when you guys have elections down here, that whoever's elected, that both of us will maybe take the time to reach out and maybe keep that partnership, that alliance, and that strong government-to-government relationship moving, because I think that's what it's going to take to make this a better place. That's all I have to say, and I thank you guys for your time. Hi, Naich.
Thank you very much, folks. Thank you for coming over. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll see you over there in February or March.
All right.
Thank you.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It is. The City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams, Leonard,
here.
Saltzman,
here.
Sten, Potter,
here. Please read the 2 p.m. time certain.
Item 1483, accept the task force report on park system development charge update.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and member of the council. We treasure our parks, from beautiful Forest Park to tiny Mills End Park. We all have our favorite parks. They help define our city's identity, and they are now recognized as a piece of our city's infrastructure, a fact that has been reaffirmed 3 times in the past 3 years during our budget process. Mayor Potter's wise decision to include parks as an infrastructure bureau has brought this fact to the forefront. All 4 of these bureaus, water, sewer, transportation, and parks, are able to collect systems development charges, or SDCs. The Oregon Legislature has affirmed that these 4 critical pieces of a city's infrastructure must have a mechanism whereby growth pays for its impact. SDCs are that mechanism. As we all know from our daily experiences, parks relieve the pace of urban living in our city, are essential elements that create a vibrant family-friendly city. And Portlanders have told us again and again, most recently in the auditor's most recent service efforts and accomplishment report, or at the ballots box, that access to parks and natural resources is extremely important. And we've seen that the recognition of our green infrastructure's importance is held by the private sector, too. Our business community consistently supports parks through public and private investment partnerships. And this is due, I think, in large part, to the significant economic benefit that our park system delivers time and time again. Livability is at the top of the list when businesses look at where to invest and to locate. And quality of life for our workforce has become a competitive necessity. And Portland's parks compete at a high level, but we must keep that competitive edge. Which brings us back to today's report. Our city is continuing to grow and to change. And unless we act, our livability and our competitive edge is threatened. This report shows that by 2020, 12 years from now, Portland will have 70,000 new residents. Over 50% of that growth will be occurring in our increasingly dense urban core. In addition to all those new residents, Portland is also forecast to attract 100,000 new employees in that same 12-year time frame. Now, this is great news for our economy, but all of these new people, residents and employees alike, will place demand on our current park system. System development charges prepare us for the impact of that growth. System development charges are a critical tool that ensures our quality of life is able to keep pace with our growing and changing city. These one-time fees on new development provide a fair way in which to provide the park's infrastructure needed to cope with growth. Taking into account the rising cost of land and park development, the Parks Bureau is only recovering 20 to 25% of the growth-related impact on our park system, and currently only the residential impact. We are capturing absolutely no park infrastructure assistance from commercial sector development. And the City Council in 2005 passed a resolution directing the Parks Bureau to remedy this. So there is now proposed a commercial development, system development charge, as well as residential. As you have heard and will hear in testimony today, I have recommended what I believe to be an appropriate recovery rate for Portland's parks system development charge of 75%. But that critical policy decision is really not before us today. I will bring a final parks system development charge proposal to the council early next year. First, though, I believe it's best that all of us understand the extensive process that Parks has been conducting over the past 15 months, a process that included a task force that grappled with mind-numbing details and calculations, a process that included briefings with over 40 community groups about the task force's outcomes and work, and a process that will continue into 2008 as we refine the proposal. This report creates the framework for this council's future decision on an appropriate parks system development charge recovery rate. Following Park Director Zeri Santner and Park SDC Manager Riley Whitcomb's presentation, we'll hear from task force members Marion Haynes, Linda Robinson, as well as Parks Board Member and Task Force Member Joey Pope. This was an exemplary public process that started when this council's passage of a resolution, as I said, 2 years ago, and now culminates in this report. So I'd like to now invite Zeri Santner and Riley Whitcomb to come up and give us the overview.
Thank you, Commissioner Stalsman, Mayor, members of the council. Good afternoon. Zeri Santner, Director of Parks and Recreation. With me is Riley Whitcomb, Program Manager for Parks System Development Charges, and Sarah Schlosser Moon, who has been intimately involved in the public process, and today she is going to help us with the electronics as we make our presentations. System development charges, or SDCs, for parks are a key strategic element of accomplishing the goals of 2020. Parks SDC is one of the three very important components of a sound fiscal plan for the Bureau. As you know, general fund primarily provides for maintenance and operation of existing parks and as the system grows. We rely very heavily on volunteers and partnerships with other agencies and private and nonprofit entities to enhance our park system. Together, all of these components, and then Parks SDC addresses the increasing need created by new growth and new residents. So together, all these pieces come together to stabilize our funding in order to give a high-quality service to our community. Today in our presentation, I will briefly describe the history of Parks SDC, and then we'll turn over to Riley, who will talk about the process, the methodology, and the findings of this update. And then I will briefly explain what our next steps are. So I would like to start with giving you a little bit of background about Parks SDC since its initiation in 1998. At that time, when the council approved the Parks Residential SDC, the growth-related recovery rate was set at 30%. The importance of the Parks Residential SDC was reaffirmed, and the possibility of including a non-residential SDC was introduced in the Parks 2020 Vision Plan, which was adopted by council in 2001. Now, covering some of the accomplishments of the SDC, the funds generated by Parks Residential System Development Charge has paid for either entirely or as matching funds to acquire over 280 acres of new parkland and has helped develop 8 new parks. These acquisitions were made consistent with the growth pattern within our city. And as you can see from the slides, these acquisitions and development were scattered throughout the city, but primarily the largest acquisitions were made in Outer East areas as the growth was occurring at the higher rate in those areas. I wanted to just share with you just a few samples of accomplishments that we made with help from system development charges. Tanner Springs Park in the central city, system development charges paid for its acquisition, and with partnership with Portland Development Commission and funding from Urban Renewal Area, we developed this very, very significant and sustainable park. We built Sendaris Community Garden completely with system development charges. System development charge helped acquire and develop Holly Farm. You are all familiar with the history of Holly Farm. It was a multi-pronged, and we had several partners, Trust for Public Land, Parks Foundation, the community, the neighborhoods, and system development charges partially paid for acquisition and development of this very, very important park in a neighborhood where there were no parks. And then partnership with BES. We have used system development charge to acquire properties in our natural areas, particularly in Johnson Creek areas. And then the park, the system development charge has fully funded the development of East Ridge Park, which is in Outer East areas. I think the most significant part of and importance of system development charge is that it gives us the ability to match, to leverage grants and funding from other sources. And as is the case, an excellent example is the trails. We used $460,000 of system development charges to leverage 10 times as much, $4.6 million, to acquire and build trails. which is very, very important to our community. So as Commissioner Salzman indicated, in 2005, when we came for an update, a revision to SDC, you directed us to go back and look towards comprehensive update of the system development charge. And the reason for that was that the current system is inequitable, as residential development carries the entire burden of the park system development rate. And non-residential development also creates the need for parks. And I think I remember very clearly Commissioner Leonard was very articulate about the connection between commercial SDCs and commercial developments, and told us that we don't need to do the methodology, that it was pretty clear. So now I'm going to turn to Riley to describe the process, the methodology, and the findings of the Parks SDC update, and then I will explain what our next steps are.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. Riley Whitcomb, Portland Parks, the SDC manager. Following passage of the resolution, Commissioner Salzman appointed a 14-member task force to participate in the process of evaluating the existing SDC program, updating the methodology, and providing recommendations on Parks SDCs. The task force membership presented an array of stakeholders, including Parks business and development interests. A few of the groups represented include Portland Business Alliance, League of Women Voters, BOMA of Portland, Coalition for Livable Future, Portland Development Commission, and the Portland Parks Board. The work of the task force was guided by the principles the task force established at the outset. These were reviewed throughout the process to confirm that we were staying on target. They proved to be valuable in evaluating the task force proposals in the final analysis. The work of the task force included evaluation of the current park SDC program, analyzing future growth impacts on parks, reviewing land and development costs, identifying and addressing key issues, suggesting and evaluating proposed program changes, discussing and debating appropriate level of recovery. Initial discoveries revealed that the current program was not keeping pace with growth, and a diligent recrafting was needed to improve the effectiveness of the program. The task force compared both our park SDC rates and Portland's total SDC rates to our neighboring jurisdictions, and discovered that our fees were among the lowest in the region, indicating that our SDCs could be raised and still remain competitive. In addition, we learned that 9 out of the 14 communities in this list had already established commercial park SDCs, which confirms that the commercial SDC had become the norm rather than the exception. Armed with the understanding of the challenges, most notably are the increased growth projections, a noticeable shift toward increased urban density, increasing land and development costs, and the general ineffectiveness of the program to keep pace with growth, the task force investigated several key areas of opportunity. The task force investigations led to agreement on several key issues: the need for establishing a commercial SDC, the need to introduce a two-tiered fee structure, and a new logical approach to local access park definition and allocations. However, with all this agreement, they were unable to agree upon a recommended recovery rate. The key issues to consider in updating the residential is to understand that the residents of Portland, even our most recent, love their parks and expect quality parks to serve their neighborhoods. We have learned that the cost to acquire and develop land for parks has exceeded our previous projections, and the growth is predicted to continue into the future. To be effective, the residential park SDC rates must be increased to respond to growth, and we must acknowledge the importance of providing affordable housing in Portland and intend to continue our existing policy of affordable housing exemptions for up to 100% of the MFI of homeownership, which translates to a household income of $66,900 for a family of four. Residential rate calculations are based on maintaining existing level of service. Our current overall level of service is 19.64 acres per 1,000 population. This level of service, calculated by park type, is multiplied by the projected population increase to get the number of acres of parks needed in the year 2020. If we maintain that and do 100% recovery, we would again end up with 19.64 level of service at the year 2020. The per-acre land and development costs are then factored in to provide the total cost to meet 100% growth need. Dividing this by the number of new residents into the residential portion of growth gives the per-resident cost. The actual fee is based on the average occupancy rate for each housing type per census data and ultimately the recovery rate. The fee is only assessed on new construction. The interest and desire for a commercial park SDC has been expressed since the earliest days of park SDC. In fact, the park SDC methodology report adopted by the city in 1998 included a commercial SDC option that was not adopted. At that time, the commercial park SDC had only recently been introduced in Portland, and concerns over potential legal challenge and the loss of competitiveness derailed acceptance. A study prepared in 2001 documented the nexus between employment and use of parks in Portland. In addition, we have now seen that 9 of our neighboring communities implemented commercial park SDCs without successful legal challenge. The commercial SDC is primarily informed by 2 factors: relative park impact of a non-resident employee compared to a resident, which factors out to be about 12.9% of the impact, or it takes 8 non-resident employees to create the impact of 1 resident. Types of park facilities typically available for use by non-resident employees and the acreage needed to created by the commercial growth provides a basis for calculating the fee. It is again based on the existing level of service, and only the commercial portion of the growth need is used to calculate the actual per capita impact. Fees are based on 1,000 square foot employee occupancy by building use type. Only new construction or square foot expansion requiring a building permit would be assessed a commercial park SDC. Data presented to the task force revealed the need to consider a 2-tiered fee structure to account for projected growth in the central city. Density and higher costs of land were being experienced in that area. By proposing a relatively higher fee in the central city, we're able to more equitably structure a more realistic capital plan throughout the city. The proposed central city boundary, illustrated in this slide, was derived after discussions with Bureau of Planning and the task force. The boundary is intended to inscribe the area of the central city most likely to see redevelopment, where land costs are higher with a greater intensity of use. The proposed boundary would be interim until Bureau of Planning has finalized the work to redefine the central city plan district. With the adoption of the new plan district, the Park SDC central city boundary would correspond with its new alignment. With the exception of the proposed modifications to the central city boundaries and its interface with adjacent Park SDC zones, they will remain unchanged. Park SDC funds are dedicated funds spent on capacity increasing capital improvements to meet the need of growth. They cannot be spent on operations or maintenance. The Park SDC capital plan does not have a specific project list since the acquisition program is opportunity-based and dependent upon willing sellers. The property owner would be reticent to see his property singled out as one of our targets. So we just use an acre target area within our target number within our different sub-areas. The capital plan, which is derived from the actual recovery rate, is divided into acquisition and development. the various park types, and in the case of local access parks, the subarea in which the fee was collected. The local access park portion of the fees are spent within the area collected. Citywide natural area and trails portion of the fee is eligible to be spent anywhere in the city where growth is occurring. The capital plan is based on expenditure by the year 2020. Parks?
Do you want to finish your presentation? Take questions?
If we
can. Yeah, right. Just be a second.
It's almost done.
Parks published the proposed Park SDC methodology update on October 12th to start the 60-day comment period. The report includes fee calculations based on 75% recovery rate. State statutes require that we republish the methodology and provide an additional 60-day review period if we wish to impose a fee higher than the published rate. This was not the case if adopted fee ends up being lower. We conducted public outreach following the publishing of the document, conducting 40 presentations to community organizations. Went back to several, repeated our presentation on several occasions. We went to the business community. We went to service organizations. We went to community organizations. We also conducted 5 open houses in every sector of the city. And we also sent out hundreds of electronic press release communications and 5 press releases. We also issued notification through the neighborhood system and multiple other nonprofit and business networks. What have we heard? Well, we've gotten pretty much the sort of feedback that we heard in our task force. Parks are key to Portland's quality of life. SDCs are a necessary tool to meet the demands due to growth. The two-tiered fee structure seemed reasonable. There was a great deal of disagreement in the appropriate level of recovery rate. The people wants to see parks use the general fund for operations and maintenance, and SDCs seem to be a tool to relieve the pressure from the general fund. And concerns were raised about the impact of the commercial SDC and the combined impact of fees in general on the business community.
So what are our next steps? Our next steps are that after you hear from the public in this hearing, Commissioner Salzman will be asking for your input, and then the input that we receive from you will be considered as part of our methodology. For instance, Commissioner Leonard has suggested, and we agree that the hydro parks should be included as part of in our inventory as part of methodology, so that will be included in our methodology. And then we will take any kind of revisions back to the task force, and final rate and the code language would be established, and we will take that to a couple of more public meetings and come back to you, as Commissioner Salzman indicated, early next year. So that's our presentation.
Can I ask a few clarifying questions? So, and for those of you in the audience that are part of the task force, and I've been busy on a couple of other issues, so I'm going to use this opportunity to educate myself and ask some ignorant questions, and I'll try to do it very quickly. The goal of getting the SDCs at 75%, does that change the rate for residential, or do you make up the difference with an increase in commercial, or can you summarize the tweaking of both residential and commercial to get to the 75?
Both residential would be raised depending on what that rate is, and commercial is a new rate and does not offset the residential.
So residential goes up by how much?
Or 75%, if it was 75%.
Right.
About 2.5 times.
Okay. Okay.
And then on the exemptions I saw on the website that under the FAQ there's the possibility for exemptions. Can you, where someone donates land, or can you,
right.
can you tell me a little bit more about the nature of those potential exemptions?
Right. They're, they're qualified public improvements. We have convene a group that analyzes the appropriateness of the donation, whether or not it's in our park system, in our system plan, and that it's an appropriate that it's included in our capital plan, our CIP plan. So it has to fit in there. Then the value of that is established, and they can receive SDC credits, is what we refer to them for that.
Credits, sorry.
Right. Yep.
Okay, and then in terms of the ranking, the relative ranking in the region, let's say, parks, SDCs, for residential and commercial, and then combined, did I miss that, or is that in here or on the website?
It's published.
It's 75%.
Right.
If we stay with 75%, the ranking becomes, for parks, SDCs, we come
two,
number
the second.
Two, number second.
And then overall fees, I believe we're third, something like
second
that.
Second behind who?
I think it's West Lynn, but I can't remember. Is that right? Sherwood. Excuse me. Sherwood.
Right. And then, thank you, Mayor. The O&M, which is a slightly tangential conversation, mm-hmm. maybe better had in budget process time, but
yes.
The notion of at the time that we procure property, that there be an estimate of O&M costs, either in its current form or after the desired build-up form, mm-hmm. Maybe through the budget process, I'd like to hear more about how we sort of get those estimated impacts of property acquisition on O&M requests back to the
right.
city.
Yes.
That's probably better handled in the budget process. And then in a very parochial question, as a commissioner from North Portland, I see that there is not a lot of local park access land development going into North Portland and Southwest sub area.
Right.
Tell me more about that.
Okay. I'm surprised you asked that. The basis for our SDC, as I mentioned before, is existing level of service. So we look at our citywide level of service, and then in each sub-area, we see how that level of service compares to the existing park inventory and level of service. What happens is that we're always going to have some areas that fall below that because it's the average. Mm-hmm. And it basically means that there is, if you will, based on our level of service, a surplus of parks that can still absorb the people in that area, the new people in that area. So in Southwest and North, that is the case. That doesn't preclude spending citywide funds in those areas. And understanding that there are needs in those areas, certainly St. John's, Hillsdale, some of those would be areas that we would target for.
For instance, one of the citywide parks are urban parks. They're urban squares. And we know very well that both Hillsdale and St. John's area would like to have a square where they could have farmers market and other things. So those categories are in our citywide categories and applies throughout the city.
Okay, and then so the last sort of two issues on that you can get back to me later on is one, an interest in, again, having my North Portland hat on, the desire to extend the river greenway and trail out the peninsula, and then just my concern that Portland ignores the Columbia Shore in terms of if we're able to negotiate the right deal on the Columbia River crossing, we might be able to open up some shoreline on the Columbia Slough for green restoration and potentially other development. So we can have offline conversations about those specific issues. Thanks for answering my question.
So I have a couple questions. The formula that you've laid out, is that a formula that you use to develop a rate that then is applied to any new permit that comes through? You don't apply that
right.
formula
no.
each time?
No, you don't. No, that's just how we get to the rate. And then it would be based on the occupancy rate.
Well, I know what it
right,
says.
Okay.
I was just asking how you applied it. So you come up with a number.
Right.
From that. Mm-hmm. And so currently that number is what?
For a single family residence, it's $3,117, I believe.
$3,117. And we don't do anything for commercial occupancies currently.
We don't.
But the proposed rate, would it be the same as the new rate for residential, or is that a different rate?
No, it's a different rate. It's based on the impact. We look at the
I understand all that. Right, I'm just trying to figure out the rate.
Yeah, the rate's different.
What is the rate?
Drivers.
Well, it depends on the recovery rate, actually, because we don't have one. Right now, it's zero.
It, in the proposal, you have a formula for a commercial rate. What does that produce?
That produces a a cost per 1,000 square feet of new building.
And I'm just trying to get to what is the number that you're going to that you're proposing that this proposed rate would be. What is that? So if I was going to build $1 million building,
right,
and we had the new commercial SDC rate on board, how much would that number be?
Can I give an example?
Yes.
Right. This is one that we looked at with our task force and had discussions about it. The new construction we see down at First and Main is about 400,000 square, about 368,000 square feet of rentable space. That would be the basis for calculating the fees. When we calculate the fee based on the 75% recovery for that building type, that came out to about $400,000, a little over $400,000, which translates to about a dollar per square foot in building cost. And so, when you compare the rental rate, it's about adds about 8 cents to perhaps a $35 a square foot.
I just want to deal with apples to apples now. So mm-hmm. Right now, if I was asking a question, how would this impact my $1 million building? It would be based on the number of square feet, not necessarily the value of the building.
Right, not the value of the building.
So if I had
square feet and the type of use.
Right, type of use.
Commercial office versus industrial. Right.
It's based on the impact, the number of employees that we think might be there, based on the number of people that the number that actually live out and work in. It's a formula that we've calculated from census.
So data. I'm going to build a 10,000 square foot building and I'm going to use it for office use. That would be a dollar times 10,000 square feet.
No, it's not. I don't have the figure in front of me, Commissioner. It would be more like $417 per 1,000 square feet.
Okay.
Did I say 417?
You said 417 per 1,000 square
something
feet.
Something like that. It's sort of that range. They go between $300 to $600 per 1,000 square feet.
That varies depending on the occupancy type. But on the residential type, it'll go from 3,117 to 2.5 times that.
Right. The new fee would be 2.5 times that. Again, it depends upon whether it's Central City or outside Central City.
And I was going to ask you about that, too, because I didn't quite understand the two tiers. So you don't have to walk me through the methodology. Just explain to me what the difference is in the boundaries, for instance, in the Central City, what the cost would be versus what it would be at the second tier outside those boundaries.
Well, I don't have the actual figures in front of me. I don't because I hadn't
more,
planned.
Is it more?
It's more in Central City. It's,
how much more?
It'd be maybe about $1,000 more for a single family resident in Central City than it would be outside.
And outside, and when we pay, if we have adopted the new fees and people are now paying into the SDC fund, is the fact that more development happens in one part of the city, say for an example, and I think this is actually accurate, Outer Southeast has the most development going on because that's where the most free land is. Is there any geographical certainty that the SDC money generated in Outer Southeast will then go back to Outer Southeast, or does it go into a pool? As I understand it currently does, and it just you mentioned Hillsdale might want an outdoor market, so is it possible that the fees generated in one area of the city actually then are spent on another part in another part of the city?
Yes.
If
I could explain, no. I'm just giving you a straight answer.
Because that's the way it is now.
Right. No. Well, it's the same way now that it is. We've always had a pot for local money that relates to neighborhood community parks. Now we call it local access. That stays within the area. The way I like to put it, Commissioner, is that all of the areas where there's growth are eligible for the other funding.
That's the way it is now.
Right.
We're not changing that.
That's not changing, yeah. Right, yeah.
But, I mean, I just don't want people to think because there's a development going up in their neighborhood, that means that a park will be built in
right.
their neighborhood.
Yeah.
It may or may not.
Yeah. There's a lot of factors.
And so have we estimated how much, and maybe you said this, and I was actually looking for it, and you may have said it when I was looking. Have we estimated how much incremental new money this will generate if we adopt it as is?
If we adopt what has been published, we would get it would be close to $500 million over the next 12 years.
$500 million over 12
right.
years.
Mm-hmm. That is only dependent on the growth. You know, we have to have the growth. If we don't have the growth, it's all related to that. So
I'm looking at your chart, and I see that you've compared us to other cities in the region. And it looks like, yet you're right, that it would put our parks SDC at number two. What did you do a comparison with like-size cities, Seattle, San Francisco?
We didn't.
San Diego?
We didn't do that.
Didn't.
But it's it may be some. It would be worth doing, I think, in bringing those figures back.
Not all cities have system development charges. Some of them have impact fees. Some of them have development fees. It is, and some have combination of them. So it is, I remember in 1998 when we were looking at to just get an idea what others do, we realized that it was a lot of apples and oranges. But we'd be happy to take a look at it again.
I mean, to the extent that you can compare apples
right.
to apples, I think it's
right.
helpful. So then I'm also curious, and I see that you had a large discussion and you included a number of people in the discussion, but was there a discussion on the impact of the cost of housing with these new SDC charges? I mean, in this context, it seems like we're having a number of separate conversations simultaneous with each other in the city right now. Mr. Sten, for an example, is discussing how we can somehow crack this nut of trying to get more families to move in and around schools, the Portland Public Schools, because we've seen a depopulation of over 20% of the student population in the last 10 years in Portland schools. So where we used to be at like 56,000 students in Portland Public Schools, I could be off here a little bit, this is from memory, we've mm-hmm. dropped to less than 44,000 students. So that has an impact on schools because they get money from the state based on student population. So we start closing schools, we start having defunding problems, classrooms expand as people move to areas in the metro region where schools are cheaper. So David Douglas, for an example, has trailers out in there mm-hmm. Outside to house students because the housing's cheaper out there and students moving out there. Was there a discussion of what this new fee will have in terms of what's already been characterized as unaffordability in the city on houses and how that might actually hurt our efforts to get families with kids to move mm-hmm. into the city?
Well, I think it has been, and it is a concern, Commissioner. But the same people who are moving to those cities and need to have schools, they are asking and demanding for parks. So we are, and it's a tough balancing act, and that's what you have to grapple with, and you have to let us know how you want us to proceed, is that they want the services of schools, they want the services of parks, transportation, and all the others, and how do we pay for all of them? And if the growth is not able to pick up some of that, that means that general fund has to pick some of that up or do that. So how do we do that?
Well, but the way you're characterizing the issue is either you accept SDF increases to buy more land for parks or you don't get more land for parks. And I guess the question I'm asking is, wasn't it viewed in a broader context than that? For an example, I operate on the premise that and the dynamic of this discussion so far has been, this is a great idea. And it's a great idea based on the premise that the best tax is the one that somebody else pays. So, of course, people like that idea. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised that people that are living in Portland and own houses now think this is a great idea. Because mm-hmm. people that aren't here yet will pay the tax. That makes sense. However, the fairest tax is the one, in my view, that touches everybody. That's the fairest tax, so that you generate the same amount of money, but the rate is less because more people pay it. Well, not everybody likes that idea because they end up having to pay a tax, but I think responsibly we have to have a discussion about, is this the issue isn't whether or not we need more parks. I mean, as you pointed out, at the Water Bureau, we've created parks where none used to exist because they were fenced off pieces of land. We agreed we need more open space. We also agree we need to spend more money, I think, the council as a city, to acquire more land for parks, particularly in those areas that are developing now that have zero parks. We need to do that. That's not the question. The question is, what is the fair way to do that? You have made a recommendation that basically shoulders the burden to people that aren't here yet to do that. I'm asking, wasn't there any discussion about, yes, that would be the least painful to existing Portlanders to do it that way, but what is the fairest way to do it? And are we actually hurting other goals that we have, housing affordability, first-time ownership opportunities, stimulating the Portland public schools by doing things to incent people with families to move into the city and not doing things that incent people to move to other places besides the city? Did you have that discussion?
I can't speak to the task force because Riley's been there, and I think
that's what I'm interested in.
Commissioner's assistant Matt was also participant. But I one thing that I want to clarify, Commissioner, is that even with this rate, 75%, and with a system development charges, we have deficiencies. We have deficient areas. So everybody, the people who are living and already are residents, are going to pick up the deficiencies. So, and the Oregon statutes requires that we, as we respond to growth, we also bring up the deficiencies. So there is, everybody will be paying. People who are here will be paying to bring up the efficiencies in par with the growth as well.
How's that?
Well, I could explain a little bit. With our, in the first 8 years of the program, we brought in about $24 million of systems development charge, park system development charge funds. During the same time, we were able to get more than $50 million from various other sources. PDC was one, the council agreed to fund certain acquisitions with general fund money. We had grants. We had donations. So there is a possibility.
Metro
to do
was
that.
A major partner on that as well.
I think, you know,
that wasn't responsive to my question.
Well,
I mean, you. Here's my point. Here's my point. I don't think we should be near to the bottom of the list on SDC charges, and I don't think commercial, new commercial development should pay no SDC charges. But I don't think we should go from them paying nothing to being near to the bottom of the list to being at the top of the list and making it unaffordable. Just go from absolutely one end of the spectrum to the other. And I'm just asking, and I'm not trying to get into a debate about this. I'm just asking as a matter of principle. Wasn't there a discussion about the impact of these fees on new residents and how can we as a community on one hand say we need to fight to get housing more affordable and turn right around and drive just the park portion of the SDCs to the top of the list, notwithstanding PDOT and other bureaus that are coming forward with these. You have to know this is not happening
right,
in
not
isolation.
In the vacuum. Right, yeah, right.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're having other discussions do the same thing. I mean, isn't there a broader discussion? Is this the right and the best approach to recommend this level? Not whether we should raise them, but to this really extreme level. And if you weren't there, you just weren't there.
We're going to have some task force members come up after this panel, and that's the discussion you're raising. Those points are the discussions I hope to have with all of you, after this hearing today, too.
I'm not questioning SDCs. Right. I'm questioning the amount, and just the dramatic change.
Very valid.
And I appreciate that I read in the report that some on the task force did recommend some staging in and some more, and I think I fall more in that category than I do what I'm looking at.
Yes, Commissioner Leonard, Matt Grum, Commissioner Dan Saltzman's office. There was actually some good discussion about that. 2 points was the levy that current residents are paying that goes into that. The other discussion that happened was the future potential of a bond measure for parks in 2010 and beyond. And then obviously a big issue, and I think you'll hear it in the testimony, is the affordability exemption that we have that's inherent in the parks SDCs.
What's that?
Any house sold to a family of 100% of median income, which I believe is around $66,000 a year for a family of four, does not pay any park SDC on that new home. And
Does it pay any?
No,
none.
Exemption.
See, I would question that. I would.
You will hear that in testimony.
No, I would question the wisdom of that, mm-hmm. of having, I mean, again, I mean, I would... I guess I'm looking more for a more moderate, middle-of-the-road kind of approach than what I'm hearing here. I wouldn't just keep some households completely free, and I wouldn't, you know, charge others the moon. I'd look for some more moderate.
That is a perfect thing to, for Dan and all of us to talk about in the coming months. Yeah. Absolutely.
Any other questions?
So if there's no further questions, I'll invite some of the task. The only invited panel is the task force members. Marion Haynes, who represented the Portland Business Alliance, Joey Pope, who is a member of our Parks Board, and Linda Robinson, who's just an all-around Parks advocate. Start with Marion. Okay. Work our way.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Marion Haynes, and I represent the Portland Business Alliance, and we participated, along with a number of other business organizations, on the Parks SDC Advisory Group. I'd like to begin by first acknowledging the work of Riley and the consultants in developing this report, as well as the involvement of Matt Grum from Commissioner Salzman's office. It has been a long process, and their commitment to working with various stakeholders, addressing questions that we raised, and working through the issues is very much appreciated. The business community members on the task force understand the contribution of parks to Portland's quality of life and the business environment. Further, we understand that there is a nexus between both residential and employment growth and parks usage. We do not disagree that we have a role to play in supporting parks. In fact, members of the business community have supported parks in various ways over the years, including levy campaigns, land donations, and contributions in association with new developments. At the heart of the issue, is not whether some type of SDC is appropriate, but when and how much is appropriate. We are hearing at an unprecedented level of concern from businesses about the cumulative impacts of fees and charges on businesses in Portland. In addition to this proposal, the city has recently adopted or is considering a number of regulations that increase business costs, growing permit fees, the elimination of the transit-oriented development discount for the transportation SDC, a potential new street maintenance fee, and recycling and refuse storage regulations, to name a few. None of these are overwhelming in isolation, but it doesn't appear that there is an opportunity to view these charges comprehensively and set priorities. The concern is that we are actually hindering business growth and vitality. As you will hear from some others during testimony today, there are a number of indicators that we believe do not bode well for the city, which should be the economic center of the region. Employment growth is relatively flat and has not reached pre-2001 recession levels in the central city, for which a relatively higher SDC has been proposed as compared to other areas of the city. Further, the central city is seeing a significant decline in its relative share of the region's office and retail market, and the rents required to support new construction often are more than the market will support. On the housing side, the potential increase in the Parks SDC would simply mean housing affordability is out of reach for more would-be homeowners. These increased costs will pass through on a per-unit basis, meaning the affordability the city is working to achieve becomes more out of reach for residents, particularly the middle-income families the city is trying to retain. So what does all this mean for Portland's economy, business and job growth, and housing affordability? Is the cumulative impact of fees and charges the reason we are seeing these anecdotal accounts of a less than healthy business environment? Frankly, we don't know the answer, but our sense is that something's wrong. It is because of this concern and uncertainty that business groups at the table in the advisory committee cannot support a 75% recovery rate for Parks SDC. We would ask that before making a decision on this fee, we take some time to understand what is going on and the various impacts of continued escalation in business and development costs. We can only be a partner in supporting parks so long as we continue to have a thriving economy that supports additional development and business growth. As Riley said, you need the development to generate these funds. We ask you to work with us to study the development environment in the city to understand the impacts of all these policies. And we commit to working with Commissioner Salzman and the rest of council on ways to craft a proposal that supports the partnership that we have the city in support of our quality of life. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name's Linda Robinson, and I'm here as a task force member. I'm a resident of Outer East Portland. I've lived out there more than 30 years and have been involved with parks at all levels for a number of years. I wanted to address some issues about the task force, the composition of the task force, and the work of the task force. The task force was composed of approximately, I would say, about half of the folks were representative of business interests of some sort, at least half of them, and there were a number of community interests as well. The task force worked for more than 14 months. We had three basic questions that were posed to us, and we had a considerable discussion on those and generated some ideas and some things that actually they went back and changed some things based on the questions we asked. I was pleased to see that they were responsive to us as a citizen group, and one of those questions was the allocation between local access and